And the reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and we're reading from verses 3 to 26. That's John chapter 4. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to him to drink water, to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Irene. Now, hopefully some of you have got these little worksheets. And the question at the top there that we can all answer, I'm going to ask, what can you survive longer without? What can you survive longer without? Is it A, exercise? B, chocolate? C, water? Or D, time on a screen in some form? What do you think? Have a little chat to the people around you. What do you reckon? What can you survive longer without? Exercise, chocolate, water, time on a screen? Okay, back in the room. I don't know. I doubt many people, but there maybe have just been a few who went for A there. I'm not so sure. But we all know that feeling where we want something that we just haven't got right now. It's a strong feeling, is it, to have that thirst, that desire, that feeling that we need those things that can be so strong. And we can thirst for all sorts of things. But the reality is that we always get thirsty again. They never satisfy us. So think of it, you want a bigger TV. You like TV, you want a bigger one. You saved up for a 40-inch TV. And you get it, Oh, and it's so good. It's so much bigger than your Old Testament. It's so clear, so much clearer, so much crisper. But how long is it? And you think, oh, the 40-inch TV, oh, it's great. But a 60-inch TV, oh, well, that how much better would that be? Or you're in the car, and the bag of sweets goes round, and you have a sweet, and you think, oh, so good, so yummy, my life is complete. And then what, 10 seconds later? Oh, you know what, I need another sweet. Oh, I so want another sweet, please, I just need another sweet. Or you might be here, and you might think something more like this: once I get this job, I'll be satisfied. But then what if the job doesn't give you the sense of purpose you thought it would? So you have to look for another one. What if it's more stressful than you thought it would be, and it makes you miserable? What if you get made redundant and you're right back at square one? Well, the same is true with our relationships. Sometimes they can break down. Our friends can say mean things, or they can move away. I'm a fan of this guy, Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler is the best golfer in the world at the moment. He's won the Masters. He's won the Open Championship. In his career to date, and he's only in his, I think he's still in his 20s, he's won over $100 million. Surely this guy is satisfied. Surely this guy is satisfied. He said this last year, and it caused quite a stir, but I think it's really honest. He said, "I love being able to play this game for a living. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. But does it fill the deepest wants and desires of my heart? Absolutely not. It feels like you work your whole life to celebrate winning a tournament for a few minutes. It only lasts a few minutes." See, we're all thirsty, but Jesus can satisfy. The verse that we sang in our song, we're going to go through a different verse of this each of the next few weeks. Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to him. No one else can satisfy. I should come to him. And that's what Jesus shows us this morning from his word. But it starts off with Jesus being thirsty. It's worth remembering, he lived a true, real human life. He'd been walking through Samaria to get back to Galilee. He's gone about 15 miles, and it's the heat of the day. So they stop off and take a break in Sychar. We read Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon, the heat of the day. But there's a problem. Because he may be sitting by a well, but he's got no way to get the water out. It's like finding a tap when you're thirsty, but the tap's just too high. You can't reach it. It's just so close, but it's not there. It can't fill you up. His mouth is dry. He's starting to feel weak. Maybe he's getting a headache. But then he sees someone coming towards the well. Someone else in need of a drink. Even better, he can see they're holding a jar. So they're going to be able to get the water out of the well. But there's another problem. The person who's coming towards him is a Samaritan woman. And Jesus is a Jewish man. Samaritans and Jews, they hated each other. They didn't trust each other. They were enemies. And in the customs of the day, Jesus and this woman, they shouldn't be anywhere near each other, never mind speaking together. But Jesus isn't worried about that. He respectfully asks her for a drink. And the woman, she's staggered that he would even speak to her. "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" But listen to Jesus' answer. It's a strange answer. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. What he's saying is, if you knew who I am, you'd be the one asking me for water, and I'd give you living water. Well, that's still a bit confusing, isn't it? What is this living water? And because the woman's confused too. She says, but you don't even have a jar. How can you get this water out? And anyway, what is this living water that you're talking about? What's wrong with this water? Hey, it was good enough for Jacob. He was the father of the 12 sons and tribes of Israel. How is it not good enough for you? Surely it is. Come on. Which leads us to our big question. If you're on the sheet, this is the question you've got down on your sheets. They're both thirsty. They're both thirsty. But who can quench the other's thirst? It looks like the woman, she's got the jar to get the water out from the well. But despite how it looks, it's Jesus who quenches her thirst. And who can quench our thirst too? You see, the problem with the water from the well that the woman could offer Jesus is that we'll always need more of it. We'll always need more of it. We drink water, we're satisfied. We get thirsty again, we need more water. We're satisfied, we get thirsty again. We need more water. But Jesus offers water that will mean we'll never be thirsty again. He says this, he says, everyone who drinks this water, i.e. the water in the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It is a crazy picture that he's describing, isn't it? You might want to try and draw it if you've got one of those yellow handouts. The picture we're supposed to imagine is that when you drink his living water, his water is so powerful that when it gets into your stomach, it turns into a fountain with an unlimited flow of water that wells up and wells up and wells up and wells up into eternal life. That's not just life that lasts forever, but life that is never lacking, never empty, that never leaves you needing more, but that is totally satisfying. And that means that it has to be a different type of water. He's not talking about this thing in this glass. He's thinking about something different. And so the woman's a little confused because, well, she initially thinks, well, yes, please, it would be great not to have the faff of having to come to this well every day. But Jesus says this is much deeper than that. It satisfies much deeper than that. And he makes that point because Jesus knows that this woman's life has been really unsatisfying, really difficult. She's been treated really badly, let down by her relationship. She's had 5 husbands and is now with another man. She's probably as well made her own mistakes, and she's had to deal with the consequences of that. She knows all too well that life can leave you thirsty. And so she's blown away by what Jesus is saying. She knows we've gone beyond physical thirst now. We're in the territory of what only God can do for us. But obviously, she's a Samaritan. So there's the question, can this possibly be for her? She clearly wants it to be, but how can she know for sure? So she says in verse 25, I'll wait for the Messiah to come. The Samaritans and Jews had at least that degree in Messiah. They were waiting for someone to come. He says he'll be able to tell her. And here's the ultimate mic drop moment. Jesus' reply. Jesus says, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Jesus is saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one from God. So I'm telling the truth, and this is for you. And when he says, I am he, he's using God's name for himself, the I am who I am thing that God revealed in the burning bush to Moses. He's using God's name for himself. And so he's saying his living water is satisfying because its source is the eternal creator. Its source is the sustainer of the universe, the spring of all life, God himself. And Jesus is the man who is from God and who is God. He can satisfy. And if he's willing to satisfy a Samaritan woman like this, he's willing to do it for you and for me too. However difficult, however messy, however unsatisfying your life might have become. How does Jesus give us this satisfying eternal life? By giving his own life at the cross. If you're on your yellow sheets, you want to be concentrating this moment, because at the cross, we are completely forgiven. We are completely forgiven. We can't be more forgiven than we are by Jesus at the cross. We're completely forgiven. He fills us full in our forgiveness. But we're also welcomed into God's family. We can't become his children any more than we are already in Jesus. He can't fill us up any more in the child stakes. We receive an identity in him. We don't have to build one ourselves. It would be so fragile. We're given a purpose to know, to worship and serve the living God, the life we were made for. And we're given a future that not even death can take away. You see, Jesus satisfies our deepest thirst and longings. So what? We're heading into that so what box. I mentioned Scotty Scheffler at the beginning. Here's his so what. He was asked just before he won the Masters about what place golf had in his life. He said this: golf is a tremendously huge part of my life, but it doesn't define me as a person. It's just something that I do and I happen to be good at some weeks. I love that addition of the some weeks. I believe in a creator, he said. I believe in Jesus. And ultimately, I think that's what defines me most. You see, for Scotty Scheffler, more than the major victories, more than the $100 million prize pot that he's won, it's Jesus who defines him. It's Jesus who fills him full. Jesus makes his life worth living. It's Jesus who satisfies him. So what about you? Let me ask. Young and old, do you believe that? Do you know the satisfaction that Jesus offers you? You know, we can find ourselves running after all sorts of things, from football to food, friends and family, fame and fortune. All can be good gifts from God. They can bring us great joy. But they are gifts that always leave us needing more. Jesus never leaves us needing more. There's a lovely detail in verse 28, which is just after our reading finished, where the woman runs off to tell her friends about Jesus, who she's totally amazed by. And she leaves, we're told, her water jar behind. It's a lovely symbol of what's just happened. Jesus' living water has welled up to give her eternal life. And so her deepest thirst has been satisfied. It doesn't need topping up with this jar. So come to him for his living water. Let's put our lives in his hands for the first time or again for the 100,000th, 1,000,000th. Lord Jesus, fill me full with your living water that wells up to eternal life. And actually then, I think that allows us to enjoy those good gifts of football or food, friends, family, fame, fortune, for what they are, good gifts from God, without them having to bear the full weight of our expectations. They'll always leave us disappointed in the end. But Jesus is different. Jesus alone can satisfy the deepest desires of your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, wherever we're at, whatever we're thirsting for, whatever disappointments there may be, or frustrations, or dissatisfaction that we feel, I pray now that you would meet us in our thirst, that as we come to you, Lord Jesus, you would fill us full with the forgiveness, with the secure identity, with the hope and purpose that you offer. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.